Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You'll find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I am joined by my Thursday night regulars, Siobhan Rowe and Jesse Cardinal, to talk about the game coming up on, Saturday then, but it's actually tomorrow afternoon, the strange time of 5:10 p.m. So an early one, at least it won't ruin our weekend too early. Just joking, but actually kind of true in a way as a bit as well. So yeah, I wanted to talk about the list demographic with them as well. I know that's been talked to death this week, but yeah, I wanted to get their thoughts as well on just what we've done in the past. And I think it's been a good week to talk about that because a lot of supporters are frustrated, and I've been a little bit frustrated, and you know, a number of others as well. So yeah, it was good to get their thoughts on that. Anyways, it was a long conversation, so I won't hold you up anymore. Let's bring on Siobhan and Jesse to talk about things. Tonight, I am back with my Thursday regulars, Siobhan and Jesse. We have a bit to go through, and we are here to preview our game tomorrow evening at the bizarre time of 5:10 p.m. But that's gather round for you. Before we do that, and this week I have talked a lot about our list demographic, and I had Mark McGowan on last night. I spoke to the boys Monday, Mark Hello and Frank the Tank Descalzo. Mark also wrote an article about our trading history in the last 4 to 5 years. And Jesse, I will start with you this week. And no half volleys, straight to the short stuff. And it's no secret, we have an imbalanced list. Mark McGowan mentioned we haven't made an effort to recruit a second key forward for Nick Larkey. We don't have a recognised key defender. We let our best key defender walk last offseason. I think the recruiting of half forwards and midfielders, just pretty much only that in the last 4 or 5 years, is finally catching up with us, Jesse.
Oh, completely. There's been no strategy around defenders and forwards, and it's almost like we're gun shy from our recruiting in the team in the, you know, the 2010 era. Now, you know, where we, you know, the 1 year where we took, what was it, Durden, Nielsen, and Vickers Willis. Mm. So we took a medium, two defenders and a, you know, a flanker, and that all went really well. So that was our first three picks in that draft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not to go back to those years, Cam Joyce. But look, there hasn't been a massive strategy around it. This year we took a ruckman and we took Dawson. And look, Dawson is showing some signs at VFL level. I'm pretty confident that he'll make it, he'll at least get a crack at some stage. And you know, you had to take Goad as a ruckman, so I think that was pretty well done. But all of the years prior, yeah, there's been no strategy around getting depth. And I think some people went very aggressive on Mark McGowan on this, but he's always been very fair. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about someone, if anyone remembers, I think during the pandemic, because originally he was working, was it for the AFL? And then I think during the pandemic, he got let go of by AFL. And I remember in one of our press conferences, I think it was Reece Shaw at the time, actually made a point in the press conference, because I remember seeing it, of just saying to him, I wish you all the best and stuff, because he had actually always done well by us. He was one of the only people who would report, who would actively report North Melbourne news and go and write about us, especially on AFL.com. So he was one of the people who's been someone who I'd say I value his opinion in the club more than most others in the media, because I think he's actively shown an interest in us for an extended period of time and followed what we're doing. So I thought he had it was a very balanced article, which is the opposite of our list, like you said. It doesn't – we're midfield heavy. We were talking about this before we went jumped on air, you know, Phillips, et cetera. But, you know, it's not just that. We have a number of midfielders. We're trying to work out where to fit them all. We can't – we've got people who like McKercher and Sheasel who absolutely dominated – well, McKercher in particular absolutely dominated midfield as a junior. It's a little bit different to Sheasel, who was a forward who went down the back. I think McKercher, his kicking is fantastic. His efficiency's been great. I don't think it's working as well as Sheasel did down back, just because I don't think his defense is as good as Sheasel, or at least his understanding of where to, you know, stand defensively. But you've got someone who was a freak accumulator and kicker who could play up on the up the field. Where are you going to find a spot for them? So we've got an abundance in one position, and that's been our strongest area this year, is clearance. We rank in the top five teams in the comp for clearance when you look at the differential. We've got, you know, two or three of the leading clearance players in the competition. So it is a strong midfield, and, you know, that doesn't come as a surprise to anyone. As I said, Tom Powell right now is the fifth highest ranked player rating midfielder in the comp. He's also seventh ranked, which is a bit of a red herring, because I wouldn't say he's had as good a year as the Butters or Tom Green, but it does show the, you know, how well he's performed this year. But what else are we gonna talk about? Larky has kicked some goals, but I wouldn't say he's been. I think he's actually been mediocre thus far. He's been well held on some occasions. I think he showed some of that frustration on the weekend because he has no one around him to help him. People are telling me, Clarko made a comment, oh, we really like Zerhas starts the year. What's he done? I actually couldn't tell you what he's done. He's kicked a couple goals, kicked a couple where I don't know what he was doing and it just went forward. It was stupid. They've put him in the midfield for about 10 minutes total for the year, and then they said, oh, we'd really enjoy that he's gone in there. Well, how about you play him in there then? So I've seen nothing from him that excites me. I think who's shown the most promise out of the first three games as a forward is Paul Curtis.
Yes.
Who had a really good game last week. And then the Carlton game, especially the first half, he was able to take some good grabs and kick some goals. So I think he's actually been the most consistent of the forwards from where we were, you know, expecting him to be versus how he's performing. The back line, there's no talent down there. So from a defensive perspective, so I don't know what people are getting upset about. We haven't invested in that line. And that's the one thing that keeps me up at night, to be honest. When I think about us and how we're going to get back from where we're at, we've invested in the midfield. Nothing's as bad as, you know, as it looks like. Things always get better. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But where is the growth coming from on either of those sides of the ground? Where's the investment in that? And how do you fix that? Because, you know, you can Griffin Logue comes in and that will add quality, and you can probably get away with having, you know, some VFL, good VFL, you know, level defenders around some quality players, but you still need talent coming in on either end of the ground, and we don't have it. You know, Comden, all of a sudden he's our if he doesn't come off as either a forward or a defender, we're miles further back than we thought we are. And the problem is that how are we going to fix that? I don't know. You know, this year we'll probably finish top four, but top four, that'd be great. Bottom four again, meaning we'll have some good picks. But unless we're actually going to take it serious this year and bring in, unless there's some prodigal midfielder that's there, and even then I'd be tempted this year. We need to bring in key position players.
Yeah, I mean, Siobhan, Mark also mentioned that we've had opportunities here to draft key position players. I guess the big one is Logan McDonald, and that's starting to hurt a lot now. I keep banging my head against the wall every time I see him this year. Aaron Cadman last year, even Mark mentioned him with Daniel Curtin. Will Phillips is on the outer. Rawling said years ago that we want to build from the midfield out. And I know hindsight is a wonderful thing, and none of us have a crystal ball. But we haven't been aggressive enough in trying to secure a young key forward or a young key back either. And when Clarkson started at the Hawks, he got rough in Franklin straight away, and they became pillars of the team. The strategy, like Jesse said, has been wrong for the last 5 years, hasn't it?
I've been really big on this for a while, and Mark summed it up beautifully in both the article and on the podcast with you the other night, Dean. It's going to become a serious problem when the midfield is as good as it is now. Those blokes will start becoming prime movers, getting to their prime at the age of 24, 25, where LDU and Zerhar and Larky are at the moment. And I fear the generation of really quality midfielders are not going to be supported by the spine of the team being the next Larky or the help for Larky. There's no real quality defenders unless Comben turns into a star in the correct age bracket. So the issue being that these sorts of players take time to develop. I doubt anyone's going to be coming to us through free agency, that because that system is just so that the bigger clubs get even bigger and richer. You don't find many players that want to leave their club wanting to go to what we are, which is a bottom of the table sort of club. And yeah, I think there's been some really big blunders, and I'm willing to go hard on this one now and say I think we've made an error in not selecting Logan McDonald over Will Phillips. That looks like an error now, because he's not an emergency this week. We're at round four. Lazaro's been dropped, and they've brought in Shields instead of Phillips. So he is beyond being on the outer. And that's our pick three. Another midfielder who can't play his correct position, which is pure bred mid, because we have the likes of Powell and LDU and Simpkin, and the list goes on of players that can run through there. So it's all well and good to be built from the midfield out, but we saw that we had 21 goals kicked on us last week against Carlton. That's a significant number. And part of it is because we just don't have the talent or the stocks down one end of the ground. And then we've got a bloke in Nick Larkey who gets triple teamed every week because he doesn't have help. And the help that he did having Callum Coleman-Jones didn't look like it was working before. Unfortunately, he did have that injury against the Blues, but it didn't look like the correct answer. And my fear is that these kids that are stars through the midfield and through other sort of parts of the ground are going to not get nourishment through wins because of the fact that there's just not enough talent at either end of the ground in terms of the key position players. And eventually, like our supporters feel at the moment, it's going to start pissing them off. That's what it is. If we are toiling away, we can't get wins. We can't, you know, play this game out because there's not enough support from either end. We needed to start investing. We didn't. Jesse made a really great point in that it's a potential gun-shy sort of action as well, in the fact that we did take, you know, some of those players in Durden, Vickers, Willis, Nielsen in the draft, and it didn't work out. But top-end talent when it comes to key position players is rare. We know how many midfielders there are through a draft, but when you've got quality tools, you bloody take them. And there's been opportunities where we could have done it. Curtin, I was big on last year. I really thought even trading down to get him if it wasn't going to be the pick that we selected Dersmer or McKercher with, we didn't do it. There's been opportunities where we haven't, and we need to start doing it now. But I fear it's almost at the point where those tools that are going to need to develop are going to just be around the boat when it comes to when some of our really quality mids in LDU and Simpkin are sort of passing their prime. So it's fixable. Of course it's fixable. But there's the time to take midfielders is probably over. We need to start investing in it. We need to be smart about it. And yeah, and that's it. I think we're all feeling the same way, that I think we just need to get some quality through the door from that end of the ground, because Nick Larkey can only do so much, and I think our mids can only do so much when the ball is getting kicked into the back half, which it's just poor at the moment, and 21 goals is not good enough.
No, and look, I mean, we're pretty lucky GWS didn't kick straight in round one, otherwise it might have been, you know, another 22, 23 goals there. I mean, fair point by Siobhan there, Jesse, that memberships have dropped this year. I think it's about 44,000. I think last year we had 50,000. If we keep going down this road, and let's say, look, we're going to be 0-5, we're going to go against Hawthorn in a few weeks, and they're probably struggling as well. There's not going to be many supporters there. We're not selling hope to the supporters at the end of the day, are we, Jesse? And I guess that's a big concern, because you might not even get 40,000 members next year if this keeps going the way it's going.
Well, that's exactly right. It doesn't, because people don't know. Some people are very bullish on it, but most people can't see where the improvement's going to come from. Because like Siobhan said, and like we just talked about, where's the tools coming through in any level? If you look at our drafting since, I'm not going to include 2019 because that one made me sad, but if we look at 2020 onwards, okay, midfielder, 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 small forward who's been delisted, Eddie Ford, whatever you want to class him as, then and I'm gonna not even gonna talk about mid-season drafts because you know what I think about our ability. We take Jake like, yep. Anyway, I'm gonna skip over that one. Then you have Jason Horn Francis. You can park that one for the moment, obviously, but midfielder Gota. That year they've gone for Gota and Bergman, who aren't key defenders. They've gone, we need people off the half back line, so I appreciate that. But you know, Paul Curtis Small needed that, and Jackson Archer Small. So there's a couple of things you did right that year, but you didn't. You bring in Pollock in the rookie draft year, which I know that they had a deal around, but you haven't tried to fix, you know, your keys at all. Now they do bring in Callan Dawson at pick two in the mid season draft last year. That's a positive tick, you know. The next pick was Essendon took Massimo, who's had a really good year for Hawthorn this year. I'm sure Essendon is spewing, they let him go. And I think he'll be a really good player. But, you know, I'll take that. Yes, we took one, great. But then that draft, you've gone Sheasel, Wardlaw, Braden George, Cooper Harvey, Brake Drury, Hamish Free, and then you get Daniel Howe and Kane Turner. Who's tall there other than Hamish Free? So you haven't addressed it there. And then we roll back up this year, McKercher, Dersma. And then finally they go, we'll take a ruckman and we'll take Dawson. And Riley Hardiman looked good. But so again, you haven't addressed the problem at all. In fact, what they've done this year is gone, we'll bring in Finbar Maley as a rookie draft. We'll throw the dice and hopefully that works off. And you know what? He looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone Taylor Goad, prospect, ruckman, that's fine. Dawson, we'll chuck it back. So this year is probably the only one of the 2000 drafts that they've actually put some investment into tall players, because we just haven't done it. So if it's going to be a long year because regardless of how good our midfield is, whatever our game style is, even if all of a sudden we get the defense to attack right, you're still going to have those gaps. You're not going to have a genuine high quality in the draft key forward or key defender you can fall back on. It's so, you know, the mid-season draft this year, obviously we'll have two slots now because of the two Achilles injuries. So that's and we'll have our first pick will be pretty high up. So you got to be rolling the dice there and trying to bring in whoever's really performing at you know, VFL, Sandful, local level, etc. Because you just need to bring tools in. Because even if when Griffin Logue comes back, you're one injury away from being back in the pits like we are now when it comes to key defenders and down forward. If Larkey went down,
yes.
If Larkey went down, what's your strategy? Who plays key forward for North Melbourne? Who? Hugh Greenwood. Like they would have to say, Comden, really sorry, we've wasted your whole preseason. We need you to go back forward. And by the way, you're the only chance we're going to score a goal. Because the only other alternative would be, you know, telling Tyler Sellers, well, this is what we got you, mate. Now just try your best. It's tough. When we're talking about a club that the only key position player that we've drafted prior to this year's draft in the last, I don't even know how long, was Charlie Comden at pick 31 in 2019. I'm going back further than that to try and see when who the person was behind before that. And I can't find them. And Nick Larkey, pick 73 in 2016. So there's two key position players since 2016.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? When you think
and if I went and checked the trades, tell me a defender we've traded in that time. Tell me a forward that we've traded in that time. Like one that actually matters. Yep, they went and got Callum Coleman-Jones. They paid up for that. Yeah, and, you know, that may not work off, but they paid a pick. They paid the price. That was worth a go. You have to have a crack at that one. What have they done in terms of defense? Griffin Logue last year, the year before last. That's it. That's still in a 7 or 8 year period. Yeah. It's not good enough, and you're not going to fix it by going to this handful and getting Toby Pink. Because it's going to take him time. And even then, I would argue that he's going to have a ceiling because he's not a high-end draft pick who has that natural talent. So, yeah, I don't know how we sell it to players. It's some of the games we've definitely been dropping off on. There's a reason why we're playing at 5 o'clock tomorrow because, well, the AFL expect Brisbane to Pantsis, because they don't expect many people to want to watch. So it makes sense why they're playing us on the only undesirable time slot of the whole weekend. And yeah, it's going to be rough. I got tickets to the Geelong game the week after just because they offered them out. And I'm like, I think I'm row C or something, so I get to hang out with the cheer squad. But I bought a ticket for a Geelong member later in the, or Geelong friend of mine later that day, and all the tickets were still available. So it's, you know, it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough here, and we're not gonna have a lot of people.
No, look, I think and that's generally what happens if people don't see competitive performances and, you know, 10 wins in 4 years or whatever it is. Then yeah, people aren't gonna. That's just reality of life. It's not to do with people hopping off the bandwagon or anything like that. It's just the reality of life. Every team does it. If you're not winning, then people don't want to come and watch. They don't want to.
Well, you're going to get return on investment as well. I mean, we're going through an economic crisis. People don't, you know, people don't have a lot of money and the money you need to live. So if you're in like a situation where you're paying for a membership or however much my premiership club membership costs, that's money I could use for other things. And if you're someone who's doing it hard, you've got to make an option between paying for your club and going and watching them getting beaten every week and not having the hope of it actually being something that you might get enjoyment out of or something else, then, you know, it's gonna take that away from people. So it is a problem until we can actually until we can get fans at least on par of don't know if we are going to win or lose this week, as opposed to, oh, well, we're going to lose this week, then it's going to be hard to get people to the footy.
No, definitely. That's right. And I guess another problem is here, Siobhan, we've got Will Phillips on the outer. Someone like Curtis Taylor, these players have zero value as far as trade dollar goes. And Curtis Taylor, who I rate, who's got a lot of talent, but we've got too many players in his position. So he's never going to get a game. He's going to get delisted probably at the end of the year. Will Phillips, we've got too many midfielders. And, yeah, look, we'll talk about team changes soon. But if he can't get a game with Liam Shields, then there's, you know, then there's a big problem there for him and his future at the football club. And, you know, it's a bad bit of business when you get a pick three, Curtis Taylor, who we've put a lot of time in, and we've talked about players getting in their mid-20s and once being finished from the club. You know, Curtis Taylor's got 60, 70 games, so he's got a bit of experience. We're not going to get any value out of these players too. So it's just the problem just compounds, doesn't it, by selecting too many of this same sort of player in a draft.
That's exactly right, Dean. I think the elephant in the room for me, and something that I haven't spoken about for a little while, also is about players sort of stagnating and not improving. So I know Gavin Brown left at the end of last year, and I think this new regime have a lot of work to do, and there's still a lot of damage from the past in players that get to a certain age or a certain point in their careers and they sort of stagnate. They just are what they are and they don't. Their improvement isn't through the roof. Now, I'm not saying that that's why where we are, but I think in the past it's been a big problem because, Curtis Taylor was, again, a fairly high draft pick. Lots of raps on him and he just hasn't improved. He's one of them. We've seen that a lot in the past with players. So I'm just really hopeful that going forward, the trajectory for a lot of these guys, and some of them, it's just a given because of how high they went in the draft. You're obviously going to see these players take the next step because they get bigger with more games experience and they age and they mature and they are like sponges. They just learn and grow. But let's just hope that the trajectory continues on for some of these players, because I can tell you what, there's been no improvement from Cam Zerha this year. There's been little improvement from Luke Davies Uniacke this year. We're on a small sample size at the moment, so I don't want to jump the gun, but this is just a little sort of flame going up in the air that I'm hoping that players' trajectories of their careers continue to develop. But without wins, where are they getting nourishment from to continue to batter up each week and perform? We have to find a win somewhere, because the growth is going to come from the team gelling together and going, look what we've just done. We have no belief at the moment we're going to win games. That's the part that's really hard to, you can't coach that. You can't do anything with that other than let's just target that game against Hawthorn and say we're going to win this damn game. I don't think it's this week. I don't think it's next week. We have to stay competitive because it's just human nature that you're going to feel deflated when you keep losing games. Sorry to go on a tangent there, Dan. I kind of had to get that out. Just in regards to the question, it's a byproduct of continuing to draft the same sort of player that players like Curtis Taylor and Phillips that you mentioned can't get into the side. And then subsequently they end up getting delisted or traded for a third or fourth round pick, which is their value kind of decreases because their career trajectory stall because A, they may be not being able to play in their right position or haven't been given opportunity, whatever it might be. And that's really frustrating from our point of view as well, because no doubt that they're integral parts of the list build when they were drafted, but then for whatever reason they get sort of lost in the system or the cracks, whatever you want to call it, and we end up in the situation we're in now. So it's disappointing because both of them have lots of talent and maybe will come into the side. Each team needs to have depth players, but by the looks of it, they're not even being considered as depth players at the moment, unless there were more injuries than what we have now, which we don't hope for. But it's a little bit disappointing.
If I can just comment on that really, really quickly, just one thing I wanted to say around the development side, because you talked about that, Siobhan, about letting Gavin Brown grow. I think put some faith in Michael Barlow. in that area, everything that I've heard about him as a coach is very, very positive. You know, he did a really, really good job at Werribee, and getting them up to a grand final against an AFL aligned side with no AFL listed players or ex listed players on his team, I don't think. So he was able to do a really, really good job there, and I know a lot of clubs were into him. So as head of development, I think that's a really good thing. I've mentioned on the program before. So I'm a friend of Carney's brother, and she's obviously, other than being our North coach, she's part of our development team. So she and while I can't get too much from him, the message that I did get out of it is that Barlow is doing. They were very, very excited to get him on board. And it seems like he's doing some good stuff. But I don't think there was a lot of love lost for Gav Brown on the way out. I think some of his ways were, they just weren't getting the job done. So I think Barlow's brought a bit of fresh air to there. So I think let's give him a bit of time, because absolutely, I think the feel out of the club is that he'll get some, get some real value out of some of the kids.
Let's hope so. Well, we'll move forward anyway. Probably enough of talking about the list. We'll go to team changes. We'll go to you, Jesse, about this. Are you happy with the team changes?
I've got mixed thoughts. I'm happy that Charlie's obviously in. It's good to see him back from injury. They've named him forward, but, I mean, that's irrelevant. He will play back, obviously, with Pink out. So I was happy with that. It was great. They needed to get him in the team. His VFL numbers have been really solid. He's built his game around – his defence has been good, but he's built his game around that ability to intercept, which for me means that ideally you'd have your other defenders playing lockdown. So what it would have meant last week, and it actually would have been the perfect time to play him last week, would be that you pay your Pink and Dawson as your lockdowns, and that he's the interceptor, and getting in front and stopping them from taking crashing marks. So, that's a lost opportunity. That's fine. He plays this week. They've got rid of Pink, so that hopefully that isn't going to deduct from his ability to be able to peel off and intercept, because I think that was his strength. We were talking for will he play forward at all? It's a possibility, but I hope not. I'd give him a crack down back for a while. So, look, the Pink out, as I said, I probably wouldn't have done that. I know he didn't have a great game, but I mean, you could have had any defender in the history of the AFL playing down back, and they would have got, they would have got done by Harry Mackay and Kerno. So, I thought Pink going out was a bit rough. You could have looked at, reshaping it a little bit, or core because Call was not great at all. In terms of the other ins, yeah, look, Greenwood I thought had to come in because as soon as CCJ wasn't your backup ruckman, we didn't really have another chance, opportunity. Unless Common plays forward, then there's no other reason. Like, then there's no one else who can play ruck. So I actually ummed and ahed on Zerha doing it just because then at least it gets him into the midfield. So you've got an extra body there. But anyway, Greenwood probably, you know, he gives you a backup ruck. It does mean that he's going to play most of the game forward, which I'm not as bullish on as a lot of other people are, just because I don't think he is a forward whatsoever. But he does add a layer of leadership down there. I think he's a really good on-field leader, off-field leader. You know, he's been playing VFL. He posts a lot of content still around the North guys, gets around them. Seems like a real leader, and he seems like a really good person. So, you know, I'm happy for him. Add some leadership down there. That's okay. He comes in rucks. Liam Shields, if he's not the sub and he starts, I don't know what I'll do, to be honest. And what will tick me off even more is if him and Tucker start and they go forward sub, because then I don't know what I'll be watching. There'll just be no point. But Shields confuses me for a lot of reasons. Lazaro going out, okay, fine. He probably, you know, he hasn't dominated the first few weeks, albeit they played him preseason in the midfield. And then haven't played him in the midfield for at least week two and three. You know, I've been pretty vocal on this on social media. Our centre bounce attendances are absolutely bizarre. If you look at team stats and have a look at, or if you look at player stats on whatever your favourite platform is to look at stats, and you have a look at centre bounce attendance percentage, and have a look who's in there. It's something that needs to be looked at, and I don't know if I hope that it's something that they're looking at, but I'm not seeing it. Like, if you go to centre bounce attendances on average for the year, the top three players, Luke Davies-Uniac, Tom Powell, and Tristan Cherry, are the top three. There's no other club that has three. There he is in the top 20. There's only one other club that has three players in that, which is GWS. If you go to it as a percentage, probably a little bit more accurate. Again, all three of those guys are in the top 10. So that says to me that you're just relying on those three in particular to do all of the work, which is fine. You're going to have two primary midfielders, but I even think with Wardlaw, they're putting him in there too much, meaning he looks buggered by, you know, half the time he looks buggered because he's just trying so hard. And when he gets the tank, he's going to be an absolute freak. But you've got Simpson in the team. You're not playing him enough in the centre. You've got, so, you know, they play Lazaro out of position. They're definitely not going to bring Phillips in if they're not looking for someone to, you know, get the CBAs up. It means you have to play. So I don't think they've got that right at all. It'll be interesting to see with Greenwood how much midfield time they give him and how they decide to keep breaking that down. So look, yeah, in terms of the ins and the outs, I'm happy that Common's in. The rest, I could take or leave. Still very disappointed that Salas isn't in because I put a post on X before we joined this. And, you know, people are commenting on it, I can see, because I've gone, our forward line is Larky and Greenwood, dot, dot, dot. And that's our forward line this week. So good luck to us. I don't know how those two are going to score against the Brisbane defense.
It's going to be a battle, that's for sure. We've talked about list before. We've got about six forwards that all do their best work inside 50, and you can't play them all together there. Siobhan, I'll get your thoughts on the team changes as well. Are you happy like Jesse?
Yeah, I think Jesse's raised some really good points there in that I probably also have a bit of mixed feeling about it. Super excited to see Chom in the side. Well-deserved. Thought that he'd probably start if he was fit and well. We've just got to really just cross our fingers, toes, everything you can cross, that he stays fit and well, and there's no injuries and he gets sustained run at it, because that's the only way that we're going to know if he's missing piece to this jigsaw puzzle that we're putting together for the next premiership side. So really excited to see where he plays. I actually think he'll be a bit of a swingman. I think he'll be another, I always call it like a break glass in case of emergency. So if we are really struggling to score, I wouldn't be surprised if Clarkson put him forward. But at the same time, that leaves a really big hole in the back half. I was super surprised to see Toby Pink get dropped. Now, I thought, not to, you know, bag players on the podcast, but I think Toby Pink's probably a bit of a victim of a really unstable and dysfunctional defence that we've got at the moment. I thought Aiden Corr's game was pretty poor. And so I just think if Aiden Corr was Toby Pink, he would be out of the side. But because Aiden Corr's in the leadership group and has a bit more experience, I think that's why he kept his spot in the side, which I don't necessarily agree with. I thought that was a weird decision. And I thought Lazaro's game against Carlton was probably one of his better games. If he was to get dropped, I thought it might have been actually the game leading into the Carlton match. So a little bit surprised to see him out of the side as well. But can also understand probably more than maybe Jesse why Shields is in the side. I mentioned very early on in the year that Liam Shields would probably be playing in this team if Clarkson saw, again, like the phrase I used before, the break glass in case of emergency. I didn't think that was going to happen by round four, but here we are. I think he thinks that we need a bit more leadership and experience on the field and someone that can be a bit of an on-field coach when things are going wrong. Obviously, last week we lost by 10 goals. So I think, not that I think he's sensing the same thing, but maybe he probably just thinks we need someone out there that can really be my voice out on the ground and might not be performing to the capacity as a younger player potentially, but will be a steady head in times of crisis. So I think he's there for that reason. So I can understand why he's there. Probably the same with Greenwood. Obviously, we need someone that can play ruck and maybe is a bit more agile than CCJ was in terms of it being the forward half. So I can understand that decision as well. Bit surprised Darcy Tucker's kept his spot. I think he's someone that I think Dean might agree as well that he's not getting mentioned because I don't really feel like he's standing out because he's not doing anything blatantly bad. But he's also not doing anything well. So he's kind of that, it's a weird situation with him at the moment because no one's really talking about him. But last week he had only a handful of disposals. Most of them came in the first quarter. Then I think he had one or two for the second, a couple for the third, and one disposal in the last quarter. So he's just doing pretty much nothing, which is why no one's saying, oh, Darcy Tucker's had a terrible game because he's not getting his hands on the peel to really make a mistake. So he's a weird selection again for me. I think if you're going to play Darcy Tucker, there's room for Will Phillips. That's just my opinion. But yeah, I'm sad about CCJ. I just want to give him a little bit of a shout out that I hope the Achilles rupture recovers well. I think the Greenwood solution is probably more of a temporary one, and I think we'll see Sellers in sooner rather than later as well.
But we certainly hope so. I think one more week, and if he kicks three or four goals again in the VFL, then I'm sure he'll play next week. He has to play. I mean, I guess, Jesse, if you got the chance to pick Darcy Tucker, then you have to take it. He has to play, doesn't he? There's that much quality there. Eight possessions, four in the first 10 minutes. He was barely sighted for the rest of the game, but I guess if you have to pick him, if he's available, he has to play, doesn't he? Sense the sarcasm.
I don't even know what to say to it. I mean, you know, I think I've been pretty vocal in terms of what my opinion is of Darcy Tucker. I don't even know if there's even more I need to say on that, to be honest. I don't want to say anything mean and I don't want to put anyone down, but if anyone can tell me what he's offering, then I would, you know, I'd love to know.
Yeah, I mean, these guys get paid a lot of money. So, you know, I mean, it's only natural that, you know, you can be critical of someone. But, I mean, it's not his fault that he gets picked. But he must be doing something. I don't know if he's got compromising pictures of Alistair Clarkson or something like that. But, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. I mean, I've spoken off air with Siobhan about this. He bores the shit out of me when he plays football. He just doesn't do anything. He just does these little loopy 30-meter kicks every 10 minutes every time he's out there. So, yeah, I'm not too sure, like you said, Jesse, what he offers. I know that players were really frothing at the mouth in the preseason and he was flying and so forth, but I haven't seen anything like that. And he's played about 130-odd games. I think we know who Darcy Tucker is. I'd like to see someone else get that opportunity. I would have rather seen Charlie Lazaro stay on the wing than Darcy Tucker, but no, that's just me. I guess someone else that's got compromising pictures, Jesse.
Oh, potentially,
Aiden Corr. Like, I mean, he was. That was the worst I've ever seen a defender play last week. He was unbelievable. I know Toby Pink got dropped, but I thought I would have dropped Aiden Corr ahead of him. I know Siobhan just mentioned him before, but is he undroppable because he's in a leadership group like Siobhan mentioned, Jesse?
Well. You ask a great question. What's he offering at the moment? I'd struggle because I'd say Dawson's been the only one who's been pretty consistent. For
I agree.
And I understand that he's coming from a way back. I understand that he was injured, etc. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It just isn't good enough. Again, there's not much else I can say on it. It's not good enough. You need more from a player. We're paying big money. Big money to have him here, so you know if you're going to pay that, then you've got to get something out of it, and we're getting nothing at the moment. It's extremely disappointing. It's just extremely disappointing.
Yeah, especially leaders and the leadership, the leaders are letting us down as well. I mean, we can't rely on kids. You know, Callum Dawson's really stepped up. He's actually playing okay. You know. But he's only played like 6 or 7 AFL games. We've got a number of other kids like Zane Dersma who's only played 3 or 4. So we can't expect these kids to carry the team. It's the senior blokes like Aiden Corr, who's in the leadership group, Cameron Zerha, who wants, 5 years, $10 million each year or something like that, to really step up. And that's the really disappointing thing. Siobhan, now, Jesse's gone through the midfield and we don't seem to be changing or mixing it up at all. We seem to just stick with the same 3 or 4 players there throughout the game. Harry Sheasel is an interesting one. Now, is he getting too many cheap possessions first off in the back line, and should he be playing more in the midfield?
It's a really great conversation, I think, that we probably need to have, because he's racking up a lot of the ball. And that's awesome. And we know Harry Sheasel's a ball magnet. But I don't think I'm the only one that thinks he's not having the same impact on games as he did last year. And I think the best way to do that is by throwing him in the guts. I think he is very much that steadfast halfback that'll create play. He makes really good decisions. He uses the ball well. I think he actually provides a lot of leadership out there. I noticed on Good Friday, he was barking instructions to McKercher on where to stand and what to do, which I absolutely love. Like, the kid's 19 years old and he's a true on-field leader. I mean, I didn't see a lot of that from some of our other leaders that have that sort of title of captain or vice captain. So really cool to see that from Sheasel. But I think Clarkson probably needs to pull the trigger at some point. If it's this week, we really do have nothing to lose. So why not see what midfield Sheasel looks like, where maybe his possessions, which he's so good at getting, can maybe have a bit more influence on the game. And I also would love to see him forward at some point. I wish we could clone him. I really do wish we could do that. He was drafted as a small forward. That was his specialty, and his wizardry was always playing for the Sandy Dragons in that position. So I've just stated everywhere on the ground where he should play. But I think at some point some burst in the middle wouldn't do him much harm. And we haven't seen a lot of that yet. So that would be probably a nice thing to do, maybe trying it this week. I think he just gets the ball, but I think he's just going at the moment. And that's saying something for a kid that's 19 that's got 32 touches. I think we just have a really high expectation of Harry Sheasel at the moment.
Yeah, we certainly do. And that's a bit of a shame that we do. He's probably a good chance to win a back-to-back best and fairest, and he's only 19 years old. He might win 10 in a row, to be honest with you. That's how good he is. But like you said, Siobhan, we need about 3 or 4 of him, to be honest with you. We need a small forward. We're crying out for one, Jesse. And Blake Drury, I was a bit surprised he didn't get picked because he was okay in the reserves, kicked 2 goals, got 21 touches. didn't set the world on fire, but we don't have a genuine small forward. We seem to all, like I've mentioned a million times, that we seem to have 100 half forwards that all do the same thing. Their best work is inside 50, but they can't all squeeze in there, Jesse.
No, well, that's exactly right. And none of them are elite tacklers. So, but to the point you just made, look, I thought he was solid last week.
I thought he was solid.
You've got to reward players for playing decent VFL, you know, VFL football, especially when you're getting beaten by as much as we are. So it was bizarre for me that he didn't get in at a minimum as a sub. It's just one of those bizarre ones. You need to get him in the side. Or what was the point of bringing him in to the team? You know, at least he's going to add a little bit of forward pressure. He's going to be able to, he potentially might end up being that dangerous small forward that we need. But again, they're going to bring him over as an emergency, which means he's not going to play a game of football this week, which is a shame. So it's just something that we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to work through. We still have holes. We still have holes. And just quickly, just to touch on the Sheasel point that you were just making. Look, I've been big on wanting to play him up the ground. I said that in his junior year, he looked like Toby Green. And I think, you know, given a strong chance for in our forward line, he'd struggle because it's our forward line. But he could probably, if anyone's going to be able to do it, he would. A lot of people talking about him getting cheap possessions. And yes, he's averaging. I mean, we're talking about a player who's in their second year averaging 33 disposals.
Incredible, isn't it?
So, you know, he's averaging 33 disposals. You can talk about how easy they are or they're not. That's irrelevant as far as I'm concerned, because the main thing that he is doing, he is, what, fifth or sixth in the comp for meters gained. So the year that Luke McDonald won the our best and fairest, for example, he was racking up disposals every week, getting the kick-ins. His meters gains were like 200 because he was just doing little chip kicks. We've got Sheasel, who's actually doing long kicks. And the best part of it is, if you go to disposal efficiency and going into his kick efficiency, it's still very solid. It's a very solid kick efficiency. So I think he's going at like 81%. That's solid for someone who's going at 500 meters gained and kicking. So whether or not he's getting the ball cheaply is irrelevant, because he's doing something with it, which is what matters. Would I like him to get more midfield time or forward time? I've said that, and I don't know why they're not doing it.
Do you know who has the record for most meters gained in a game, Jesse?
Oh, it'd be like an Aaron Hall Aaron Hall 1,000 or something.
Wow. 1,169.
Yeah, was that for us? Yeah, for us, because he didn't play that when he was getting Brownlow votes at Gold Coast. I vaguely remember that. The difference is that probably 500 of those went out of bounds, and the other 500 were really good. So,
it's still not a bad record to have, I guess. At the end of the day, I agree. It was probably him and Jack Siebel probably kicking out on full sharing responsibilities there. Jack Siebel has the record for the most out of fulls in the competition.
Yeah, I knew that somehow.
Siobhan, what about Jai Simpkin? Now, he's playing a high half forward. Is it time to cut that and get him into the midfield as well? Because I felt like the couple of times he went in there towards the end of the second quarter last week against Carlton, their midfield started to look a little more settled just with that senior body in there. And then the second half, they took him right out of it. I mean, I don't know if it's a concussion sort of issue or anything like that. We haven't heard anything. I mean, as soon as you cross that white line, you're fit to play any position on the football field. So I'm a bit bemused that he's only getting like 8 or 9 CBAs. I mean, it's probably time to just cut bait and sort of, all right, let's just put him in there now.
100%. I agree with that comment. I think when he was in there, we looked good. We looked more stable and settled. And he's a captain and a leader and a really good player at that. So I didn't think it was his best game against the Blues. Half forward's actually quite a difficult position to play. And also, he let himself down with his goal kicking at times. He kicked 2 behinds and he had the chances to do it and he couldn't quite capitalise. And I think Simpkin's best position still is as a purebred mid as well. I can't believe I'm saying that, because we just have so many of the same sort of like midfielder. But in saying that, like, he, LDU got tagged out of the game in the first half last week. Hewitt did an excellent job on him. So I thought it probably was time to actually play him in there when LDU couldn't get going. And they decided to keep him at half forward. I think it must be something to do with his concussion issues and having him play less time in the centre bounces, because otherwise I don't quite understand it, because we did look really good when he was there. And at times it was sort of boys versus men when you watch the game. The Blues obviously have a very heavy set midfield of the big boys in there. So, yeah, I would like to see him play more midfield time. I think that's where he's best suited and can do his best work, especially with his leadership as well. We all know it starts and ends in the midfield. If you lose the ball out of there, you're not winning clearances, not getting through the stoppages, then you're not going to win games of footy. So I think that's the right position for him to play. Occasionally floating through half forward would be fine, but be nice to have him back in the guts.
Yeah, I think it's always fun to cut bait on that. Jesse, what do you outside of winning, which I don't think will happen tomorrow, just quietly, what do you want to see tomorrow?
Oh, I just want to see something different. I know that sounds weird, four rounds in, but the first 3 weeks have just been a carbon copy of each other. In terms of, it's not about the winning or the losing. It's just how we react to it. And it's just like we're going to keep playing the same team with the same way. We're not going to make any changes during the game, and we're not going to play people in different positions. We're just going to keep going at it, and we're just going to keep doing it. And that's fine. You need to teach people positions, absolutely. But you've got to actually coach on the day. You've got to, move the magnets around and give people an opportunity. So I'm keen to see how we adjust to being too easy to score against. Yeah. And I guess from something realistic, I just want to continue to see more improvement from the kids, because that's the only silver lining right now.
Well, that's probably our only hope, to be honest with you, is the kids. Yeah, we've got a lot of talent with those kids, McKercher, Dersma, Sheasel, Wardlaw, a few others as well I haven't mentioned, but that's what gives us hope at the end of the day. What about you, Siobhan? Are you similar to Jesse? You just want to see a few things different tomorrow, or maybe it might be a bit more of a competitive performance?
Yeah, look, I'm not also thinking that we're going to win the game, but Jesse raised some really good points there. I want to see continued development. I want to see a breakout game from somebody. I want to see what I don't want to see is what we saw against Brisbane last year, which is where the defenders were about 8 metres away from their opponent. I think the way we play in terms of the North ball style, we knew at the beginning of the year that it was going to be a bit of a double-edged sword. So we'd have these moments where we look like world beaters and we would score, but we'd get scored against. Now, I think Clarko spoke about it in his pre-match press conference this week, the sort of that fine balance between defence and attack. I think we need to maybe look at becoming a little bit more defensive, because we're not going to win games if we're leaking 21 goals like we did against Carlton. So I just like some of our midfielders as well, and not to be negative, but I just find that sometimes they don't run two ways either. So maybe a bit more two-way running from our mids as well. They'd be aware that, the defence at the moment is a little bit brutal, so get back, sort of help out a bit more. Shout out to Paul Curtis, though. I thought his game against the Blues was outstanding. So I really want to see some more Paul Curtis action. He's actually kicked multiple goals in every game this year. So I want to see multiple goals from Paul Curtis again. I think he's been a real live wire down there. Like the lens I'm looking at most games through this year, besides the games that are really winnable for us, is probably continued improvement from the youngsters, the game plan to continue to evolve. I think another big area of improvement for us would be to try and stop sides scoring goals in such quick succession. So maybe a goal might be this week, win a couple of quarters if possible, and also try and stop opposition's momentum. So if Brisbane are going to win the game, don't let them kick 9 in a row so that we lose the game that way. So just keep staying competitive in the game. And we'll have our moments, I've got no doubt. And so will Brisbane. So we'll just see how it all plays out. But continued improvement from the youngsters, our game plan continuing to evolve, and maybe a bit more defence in the game if possible.
Yeah, and it starts from the forward line too. They've got to be more accountable. I know they're they're limited because they're all one-paced and teams seem to walk the ball out of their defensive 50. And we've been easy to transition against. And that's made it very difficult for our back six. And when you're talking about, you know, first and second gamers like Toby Pink, Callum Dawson, who's only played five, Aiden Corr, who's you wouldn't think he's ever played a game of football in his life last week. You know, it made it really tough on those individuals. So, yeah, I mean, we're averaging like 48 tackles a game this year, so you definitely want to get that up a bit more to about 65-70, and I guess that's what Hugh Green will bring tomorrow. So at least he brings a lot of effort, and he'll try and lock the ball into the, you know, 450 on a few occasions, and hopefully he can get a few stoppages and maybe get the odd free kick.
Although, see, Nathan, like, the thing is, Brisbane are under a lot of pressure, I think if we can bring manic pressure, most teams, I mean, we saw it with Richmond and Sydney. Richmond were undermanned compared to the Swans, where they are at the moment compared to Sydney as well. It was clearly going to be Sydney's game to win. But Richmond brought that manic pressure. They really made sure that they capitalised on Sydney's turnovers once they forced them. And then they were able to kick a winning score and beat them. And it was four quarters of relentless pressure on the ball carrier and really just being relentless. So if we can do that, we can beat anyone. And I think at the moment, Brisbane are low on confidence. There's a lot of pressure around the club. They've been scored against the way we have, where opposition teams have just gone woof and kicked 9 or 10 in a row against them and won the game. So they've got holes at the moment. They're not the Brisbane of last year. So if we can be fierce, we can win the game. Like if we bring the right attitude, we can win the game. I don't know if I sound delusional saying that, but yeah, attitude's everything. And I think if we go with the right attitude, we're a real shot.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, Siobhan. No, and that's pretty well said. Maybe you should do the pre-game speech to the board tomorrow and talk about attitude. And, get some – we need some serotonin, don't we, Siobhan?
We do, Dean.
yeah, that sounds good. Inside all this, what's your final prediction for tomorrow, Jesse? You think we're going to win now after Siobhan's inspirational speech?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, my concern is that Brisbane have been playing absolutely terrible, and that we'll work them into form. But I fully expect them to come out as the team that played the grand final last year against us tomorrow. I think they'll be in red hot form, and even if they're off a little bit, they'll be able to capitalise. So yeah, look, I'm a little bit worried what the score will be. I'm hoping all we need to be is just competitive. We need to crash in. We need to be as competitive as possible and not make it not easy for them to score against. That's all. In terms of margin, 40 points.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. That's almost optimistic, to be honest with you. So that's how far we've come. So yeah. No. It could be tough work. But Siobhan, you obviously think we're going to get a percentage booster tomorrow, the way you're talking.
Look. I probably agree with Jesse, but at the same time, it's not the Gabba. It's neutral territory in Adelaide. We'd want to start well. Do I think we can play four quarters against them? Do I think we can hold their forward line? No, I think six goals is probably respectable for where we're at the moment. But like I said, anything's possible with the right attitude and with a bit of pressure on the opposition. And I think at the moment, Brisbane are a little bit in their head. So if we can really put the pressure on them, you never know. But in saying that, I think we probably will go down by probably same as Jesse, 40 points roughly. But it's just, yeah. Week by week, guys, week by week.
Yeah, oh, that's it. A week's a long time in football. So I think 4 years has been a long time for us supporters, to be honest with you, in football. But, look, they've been under a lot of scrutiny this week. There's obviously a lot of talk about them. So probably not a bad time to catch them. They'll certainly be feeling the pressure and they'll want to put in a good performance. But I'm with you guys. I can't see us winning, but, you know, we can certainly show some good signs and, like Siobhan said, you know, you come in with the right attitude and come in with a bit of belief. You never know. If you can be in a game by three-quarter time, you never know. They certainly might feel the pressure, and yeah, we might start having a bit of belief. And if Larky gets on top of Harris Andrews or whoever he plays on, then yeah, we could certainly kick a winning score. But we'll see how we go in 21 hours time. Jesse, do you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, look, I think we've said pretty much everything today. Look, I think that the main thing is, if you're looking for a bit of hope, it'll be good to see. It'll be good to see Charlie Common get a crack at it again after a long time out of the game. I think that's the real positive to take in tomorrow. So, I'm hoping that he can have a good one.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, we're certainly hoping he can show, because he has shown signs in the preseason. I know he hasn't been fully fit and he's had an interrupted preseason, which seems to be a theme with a lot of our players, that he has shown signs that he's got that intercept ability. So looking forward and pretty excited to see how he goes tomorrow. Siobhan, you want to add anything else before I let you go?
Oh, no, I think I agree with Jesse there. I think there are some real positives. I don't know how everyone else is feeling, but it's getting really hard week in, week out to, you know, always watch us lose games of footy. But I think everyone's got to pop a different lens on and just look at different things. And Jesse raised a great point in that Charlie Comben's first game back for a while, and wish him all the very best. And hopefully he can save a few goals for us and take a few grabs. So that'll be nice to watch. And there's still a lot of green shoots coming through the ground for us. And patience is a word we've heard a lot of over the past few years, but it'll turn one day, and hopefully we're putting in a competitive performance.
Yeah, the sooner the better. Hopefully it turns around. Hopefully we can get that serotonin dopamine hits tomorrow. That'll be lovely. Well, Jesse, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week. Hopefully we can put in a good performance tomorrow.
Yeah, look, hopefully it's better than I think if some of us think it's going to go. Look forward to talking next week, and we can talk about how we're going to beat the Cats.
Yeah, oh, definitely. We'll be 1-3, so going in against the Cats, so turn the season around. Siobhan, I appreciate you coming on, giving your thoughts. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week as well. And, yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Anytime. Always great to chat to you guys. So, yeah, have a great week and go Roos.
So thank you very much to Jesse and Siobhan for coming on the show once again. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets and comments you all put out for the show. It is much appreciated. And telling your friends as well, I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So thank you very much for that. I have done 3 episodes this week. I did have Mark McGowan on last night, so check that out. I'd had the boys on, my regular crew on Monday as well, so check that out. I'll probably put links in on my Instagram story, so if you want to go through that. So plenty of content this week, so thank you very much for all your support, you lovely listeners. So that's it for tonight. I'll probably be back early next week to review our performance against the Brisbane Lions tomorrow, and that's it. Bye for now, and go Roos.